Usually, when you break an arm and get an X-ray, the doctor points to a jagged white line and says, "Well, there is the problem. It's a medical issue with a, a direct medical fix." But what if we applied that logic to everything and got it completely backward?
Yeah, that is exactly the kind of assumption we are looking at today.
Right. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are pulling from the 2021 South African National Strategic Framework on Reasonable Accommodation for Persons with Disabilities.
Yeah.
And our mission here is to unpack how this document completely flips that traditional medical script.
It really does. It shifts the burden of accessibility away from the individual and places it squarely on society. I mean, this document essentially frames disability not as a personal medical failing, but, well, as a societal design flaw.
Okay, let's unpack this, because it requires a massive paradigm shift in how we view the world. Like, to understand how to fix the design flaw, we first have to understand how the framework redefines the problem itself.
Right. What is fascinating here is that under this framework, disability isn't a fixed state. It is an evolving concept. Yeah. It is a condition imposed by society when we fail to remove physical, attitudinal, or, communication barriers.
Wait, so if I build a house with only stairs, the stairs are the actual barrier, not the person's legs.
Exactly.
Because if we just designed the building with a ramp from day one, the disability in that specific context practically vanishes.
Spot on. When society fails to uphold the rights and specific needs of individuals, it is the environment that creates the exclusion. I mean, the person doesn't need fixing, the environment does.
Okay, so if we accept that the environment is the real barrier, the burden suddenly shifts to the employer or the institution. But, practically speaking, does everyone just get to demand a ramp? How does an employer actually know when they are legally obligated to act?
Well, the framework lays out three specific criteria. First, a person must have an impairment that could be physical, sensory, neurological, intellectual, or psychosocial.
Got it. And the second?
Second, it must be long-term, recurring, or episodic. And the third one is key. It must substantially limit daily activities. So it is really about the practical impact on the person's life.
Right. But if you're listening to this and wondering if chronic conditions count, how does that work for, say, progressive illnesses?
There's a specific trigger for progressive conditions, like cancer or HIV. They are covered, but only once the symptoms progress to a point where they substantially limit that daily functioning.
Wait, really? So the diagnosis alone isn't the trigger?
Exactly. The functional limitation is the trigger.
Okay, here is where it gets really interesting to me. What stops an employer from just looking at a $5,000 piece of specialized software and saying, sorry, not in the budget?
Yeah, that is the most common defense. Yeah. But the framework counters it with a strict legal standard called unjustifiable hardship.
Unjustifiable hardship.
Yeah.
So they can't just claim it is too pricey.
Right. They can't just walk away. Unjustifiable hardship means the accommodation would cause, like, significant or considerable difficulty that seriously disrupts the operation of the business. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is weighed against the organization's total size and resources.
I like to think of it like a seesaw. On one side, you have the exact cost and disruption of the accommodation. And on the other side, you have the total financial weight and size of the company. A massive renovation breaks the seesaw for a tiny mom-and-pop bakery, making it an unjustifiable hardship. But for a multinational corporation,
that seesaw doesn't even budge. That is the perfect way to visualize it. Expense on its own cannot be used as a shield.
Right. You can't just compare the cost of accommodating a person with a disability to a non-disabled person and claim it's too much.
Right.
So since entities can't easily use costs as a default excuse, what are the actual mechanics of fixing these environments? Like, what do these solutions actually look like?
So the framework outlines four tiers of accommodation. First, you have no tech, which are things like adjusting policies. Then low tech, like simply installing an accessible door handle.
Oh, okay. And the higher tiers.
Third is high tech, which includes advanced software like screen readers.
Yeah.
And finally, live assistants like sign language interpreters. Crucially, the framework states this shouldn't come from some special discretionary budget. It must be a standard operational expense.
So what does this all mean? Let's pause on that no-tech tier, because that completely reframes the conversation. Think about flex time. If an employee has a psychosocial condition where commuting during rush hour triggers severe anxiety, adjusting their start time by 1 hour is a no-tech solution.
Yeah, exactly.
It literally costs the company $0, but it entirely removes the barrier to their productivity.
It really just requires empathy and a policy shift rather than a big financial investment. It is just the standard flexibility required when doing business in a society that includes everyone.
Bringing it all together, reasonable accommodation isn't a luxury or a special favor. It is a fundamental human right aimed at independent living and equal participation.
Right, because by failing to fix the stairs, we are actively making a choice to exclude people.
Which brings us right back to that societal design flaw. So consider this as you go about your day today. Look around your own workplace or daily environment. What invisible barriers currently exist that you could dismantle tomorrow with a simple no-tech solution?